Ruth, go ahead. You have to unmute.
I didn't want to perseverate about the fund drive thing, but whoever said, you know, having a place where you can check where your when your donations were made, that's fine. But that is not what I am talking about. I know when my donation was made, and I know that it hasn't been fulfilled. And again, I just, you know, since this is a problem, not for me, I'm going to stay loyal to the station, but it's one of the things that has driven people away, this non-fulfillment. So that needs to be looked into. And what I'd like to know is, if I don't get any response from the membership committee, which I haven't by email or phone, where do I go next? Thank you.
Okay, thanks. I do know that WBAI at one point did recruit volunteers to assist in fulfillment because they had a lot of back ordered, so to speak, premiums. Thank you, premiums. So maybe the station could look into that here as well. I have a long list of people who wish to speak, starting. I have John Tatum, Raymond Goldstone, someone on the phone with a 213 area code, someone on the phone named Listener. Mr. Tatum, go ahead if you wish to speak.
Yeah, and I'll be quick because I know time is of the essence. I just wanted a further clarification on approving the minutes. If I were a member and I wanted to amend today's agenda, it would take a two-thirds vote. However, if the minutes are to be amended sometime in the future, like for the instance, the next meeting, it would take a majority vote if there was notice given, but it would take a two-thirds vote if no notice was given. And thank you for recognizing me, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. So we deferred the question of approval of the minutes. I don't know if people have a chance to look at what Eric Jacobs sent around, but we'll try to come back to that later in this meeting. Hopefully we'll just be able to do that by a simple majority in the meeting itself. Raymond Goldstone?
We don't use the word simple, Mr. Chair.
I'm sorry, 50% plus one.
No, just say majority, please.
Okay, majority, 50% plus one.
No, majority.
Okay, that's what I thought majority meant. Mr. Goldstone?
Thank you. I'm concerned about this back and forth on the audit and would inquire about the reasons that the audit might not be timely. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. There is a chance for a response by directors later, so we'll get to that. The person on the phone with the 213 area code ends in 5600. You're up. You have to unmute yourself. Thank you. Go ahead.
I think it might be myself, Dr. Halley.
Go ahead. That's you.
Oh, thank you. A couple of brief points. First of all, I'd like to say that I'm very disappointed at the lack of appearance of the GM and executive director. And then number two, I listened to a good portion of Pacifica Radio's coverage yesterday's Poor People's Campaign Moral March, I believe it's called. But there were a couple of things that bothered me and seemed to be kind of sloppy. I know we're talking in the way of programming, but that's part of what we're here for. At any rate, I tuned in around 8:45, and I'm pretty sure that there was no ID at the 9 o'clock hour, which of course is very important under FCC rules. Second thing that I found upsetting was that, well, a lot of the material that we heard was not from the speakers, but from people off to the side, so to speak, which I had mixed feelings about. At any rate, coming up to around 10 o'clock, we began to hear a talk by Cordell West, in which seemed delightful. It seemed to be just excellent content. But after something like 3 minutes, he was just cut off completely. And we had this very long station ID and da-da-da-da-da, and then we're on to back to regular programming. I think this is just terrible. If somebody, I think that speech is one of the best of the whole event.
Time.
And I'm feeling like I'm just finishing. And if somebody wants to hear that, where do we go? Has it been recorded? So I think this is very unprofessional behavior. Thank you.
Thank you. I believe that the Poor People's Moral March was live streamed. You probably look for it on YouTube. Janine Roan?
Thank you.
Jean, yeah, you have to unmute yourself.
Thank you. I have two questions. One has to do with the audit committee. I was on it last year, and at the time, and this just might have something to do with the what's going on there. We were presented with an invoice for the next audit, and it had no breakdown as to hours or what would go into that amount. It was over $70,000. And I'm just curious, one, if there's, you know, if there's a new revised invoice that came in, and did it get, you know, is it approved, or the approval is being held up, and or if that could get ironed out. The second thing I wanted to just ask is, there was an elections working group, and I was lucky enough to get invited to it, but I haven't really seen it lately for the PNB. And I'm wondering, because I was on the committee last year, I'm just curious if that's going to be starting or what's going on with that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. We'd like to revive that. We're still working on the timetable in question. Okay, so I see several people raise their hand, I think, to respond to the questions about the audit. Is that right?
Yeah.
There's been several questions. So I had Bella, Beth, and Lawrence.
Mr. Chair, this is Bella DeSoto. I did an analysis from 2017 through 2021 fiscal year. The auditors, Roberts and Company, have raised their fees a total of $12,800 to date. The first year was $60,000. The second year, $68,250. 19, for 19, it was $68,250, the same. Then it went up $2,050 in 2020. And in 2021, up to $72,800. And this is very worrisome. A total of $12,800. We are a nonprofit. Thank you.
Okay, Beth.
Thank you. Yes, the issue is not payment to the auditors. When we got in the EIDL loan money last year, we set aside enough to cover the audit to be sure that that would not be a problem. So that's not the issue. I'm not on the audit committee, but my understanding is that we are just that complicated. We have at least caught up with the backlog of previous audits. So the only one they're working on now is the current audit, but Pacifica has a long history of less than meticulous bookkeeping, and it just takes time to sort all that out and track down the documentation. I think that some units are more prompt in getting in their information than others. It's been an issue in the past, and we hope it won't delay things beyond the due date this year. Thank you.
Thank you. Lawrence, did you want to respond further?
No, that's essentially
why. Respond.
Hold on, Fred, please. That's essentially what I wanted to say as well.
Okay, thanks.
What Beth laid out. Thank you.
All right, Fred, did you want to respond also from the audit committee?
Yes, yes. Basically, basic principles say that the audit committee does oversight of the audit. It does not okay paying actual bills. That's the function of the CFO, who's the head of the financial management group, Pacifica. So the audit committee, what Bill has stated may be absolutely true. Everything, prices have gone up on everything in this country at this in this period of time. So, yes, the audits may be costing more. But again, the audit committee does not okay the payment of bills. That's the function of Pacifica's financial management. Thank you.
Okay, I see a couple of hands up from the public. I did want to call myself. I'm sorry. I see your hand, Kim.
But I'm not in the public. I want to make, as treasurer, comment as treasurer here.
Okay, I understand that, but okay. I'm calling on myself because I haven't spoken as a member of the board. My concern is this. I've heard repeatedly that NETA's, having to put off other responsibilities to deal with preparing for the audit. They're not the auditors. So my question is, have they provided to the auditors all the financial documentation that's necessary for the audit to be carried out? It's not clear to me, because I still heard again on this report that they were getting material, they were working on the audit. I don't understand what that means. They don't work on the audit. They work on providing the financials that are then audited. So that's my question. If Kim, if you can respond to that as a member of the National Finance Committee or otherwise.
I can absolutely respond on that. But first of all, I want to say that it was Lydia who approved the fee for the auditor last year. So if there are any problems with the fee for the auditor, she signed off on it without even the approval of the audit committee. So there's that. The process is, where we're at now, is all the materials have gone to the auditor. They do testing. So they're waiting to hear back from the auditor how the testing is going. They may request more documents. So that's the process that it's in right now. So NEDA doesn't do the auditing, but, you know, the auditor may want more stuff if the testing hasn't worked out or whatever. They may need more documents. So that's, they're in a holding pattern right now, NEDA is. They expect to know by Monday or Tuesday.
Thank you.
Chair, I have a point of order, Chair. We have been subtracting the time from the public comment. So I believe that we need to add another 2 minutes of public comment for all the answers that the board has been giving. I think
John. No, there was time on the agenda for PNB director's response to the public comment, eight minutes.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Haley has a hand up again. Dr. Haley, did you have an additional question or comment?
Oh, thank you. No, I did not put my hand up, but thank you.
Okay, it's just that we'll lower it. Are there other members of the public who wish to speak?
Yes.
Who is that? I can't see you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead. The person who just spoke, you have the floor. We don't hear you now, though.
Yes, the moment I asked if I could speak, someone muted me. Cute. Okay, a few things. A few years ago, I proposed to the current audit committee chair that we ask one of those, you know, really expensive, pricey, well-established firms to do our audits for free. And she was outraged at the thought that we might offend them by asking them to work for free. And I said, well, what do we have to lose by asking? That question hasn't been answered, but that's got to be $500,000 ago in payment to the firm that she strongly supported in Maryland. It's not saying anything about the quality of the audits that they do, simply that there's no harm in ever asking someone to work for free. The worst thing that can happen is that they'll say hell no. Okay. With regard to premiums, my statement about the My KPFT account, which would allow members to track their donations, et cetera, has nothing to do with what was said on this call by someone who didn't get their premiums. People not getting their premiums is horrible. It happens in Pacifica all the time. It happens on PBS. If you actually go to the CPB web pages and look at the comments, it comes from all over the country. That's the worst thing. I think that stations need to put aside a percentage of what they take in order to fulfill the promises. So no, you cannot continue to tell people you're going to get this book, this CD, this, and then use the money to pay some bill. Not that the bills are irrelevant. Staff has to be paid. The power bills certainly have to be paid. But if you make a promise, make provision to keep the promise. Otherwise, you're being dishonest. And that was a policy in New York. Some people pretend it didn't exist. And some people who are newer say, well, I wasn't there when it happened, and therefore it didn't happen. But that needs to be a Pacifica-wide thing. If you make a promise, keep the promise.
Time.
Thank you. Okay, well, I think we're at time for this item as well, unless there's additional public comment. Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to the...
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair, Bella DeSoto, one quick comment, please, regarding the audit. It's very important.
Okay, quickly.
Yes, so thank you, Chair. We had locally three finance committee meetings canceled because of what you said a little earlier, Mr. Chair, that apparently NETA was busy working on audit. And as of today, one of the questions that has not been responded to and answered by the auditors in NETA, and it was questioned by the audit committee, is that which of the stations of our units is in default, and apparently is KPFA. It is because of KPFA that we have not been able to, the auditors have not been able to gather all the necessary audit compilations. So I wanted to get that out there. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Beth has a hand up.
I'd like to address that point of, that information, if it is such, is confidential, as Bella well knows. We have been instructed not to address that. It's problematic. Thank you.
Chair, if I could just comment real quick.
Okay, quickly, please.
So there's no unit that's in default right now. So please do not verify and confirm your information before you make such statements. Thank you.
This was.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Bella. Bella, please don't speak further. The statement was made on this call that the auditors have received all the data they need. They're testing the data and they're getting back to NETA if they need additional information. We're leaving it. We're leaving it at that. Thank you. Okay. We're moving on. So we're taking the treasurer's report and the finance committee, and then we'll have public comment again after that. Kim?
How much time for that, Chair?
There's 10 minutes for the report and discussion, and then we'll have 7.5 minutes of public comment.
Thank you.
All right. I'm just going to give sort of a general overview here. The revenue is 55% lower than last year. The expenses are 39% lower than last year. We are at a $411,000 net loss for this year, which is an average of a $60,000 per month deficit. The expenses per month average without central services is $145,000. With central services, it's $188,000. The revenue per month average is $128,000. $1,000. That is, including central services, $60,000 per month negative. Okay. I mean, my records show that we've raised about $95,000 so far, which is about 5,200. The Allegiance stopped Friday because Terry thought the fund drive would be over. So my records are really from Friday night. Now, we've had 380 hours in 16 days as of Friday night. Of that, 94 hours received zero contributions. 147 hours received one donation. 38 hours received two donations. 22 hours received three donations. There were 12 hours of 10 donations or over. Okay? This is like bad. Christine has been had 38 hours so far, and that is an average of $768 per hour. Few shows have made over $1,000 per hour. That's it. You know, it's bad. It's bad. I'll take questions, but
Okay, thank you. If you could provide that as a written report, it would be helpful too, so people can look at it.
Well, I don't want to because the numbers were from Friday and they're not final. I mean, I'm going to wait until the drive is over to make a final report. So I don't want to put them, you know, out there yet. You know, it's bad. You know, the majority of the shows have no support. All of the shows really have no support. I mean, 10 donors an hour is not like sufficient support to, you know, to move this station forward. And I just want to make another correction. The Southern California Edison bill, it is not relieved of immediate pressure by any means. I mean, our monthly bills, which we have not been paying, plus the negotiated past due bills must be paid on time. So the pressure is not relieved. In addition to having, you know, a nail biter twice a month as to whether we can make payroll or health pennies, now another must pay is the SCE bill. It's a chunk of money. And we're not paying our other bills. And I just want another correction is the FJC loan was $3.2 million.
I heard some parts yesterday. Let's see if they're here.
Sorry.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead. I muted him.
The FJC loan was originally $3.2 million, not $3.8 million. And the parking lot event, it needs insurance. Straight up. Mo needs to deal with this. And you need to have insurance in order to do this. And, Julia will need to call the agent and find out what that will cost. And then, you know, it needs, you know, you're going to have food, booze, who, you know, you're going to allow people into the station. These are all really major issues that need to be addressed about this event. And it's, you know, something Mo needs to deal with and he's not here. Okay, that's it.
Thank you. So we have a few minutes for questions and comments from board members, and then we'll take public comment. I see Bella DeSoto and Priscina Avalos have hands up. Go ahead, Bella, and then Priscina.
Yes. So once again, Kim Kaufman, treasurer and chair of our local finance committee, has not submitted reports, written reports, so people can look them over. She just speaks from up over the cuff. And she gives out a lot of information. There is no written report. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power billing, the arrears amount is $17,556.73. And the Southern California Edison is $41,945.52. A total in arrears of $59,502.25. I can understand that she has to cover grounds here and there. But, you know, we need a written report. She does the same thing at the Finance Committee. She waits till the very last minute, till we meet, to supply us with reports. You cannot conduct business that way, and nor should we. So I am against this, and she was asked to please submit her reports in writing prior to this meeting. I also want to point out, if the event next July at the parking lot requires insurance, so be it. That can be ironed out. That should not be in any way a deterrent, once again, to blockade an effort to help the station raise the necessary funds to meet this looming huge billing of nearly $59,502. Thank you.
I have Christina next, then I see Ziri, Myla, and Lawrence. Christina, go ahead.
Yes, that's what I was going to address is it's important to have a written report on what's being given to the board.
Thank you. Ziri?
Thank you, Kim, for the numbers. This is very important to know. I also agree, of course, we all would like to have a written report once it's completed. I totally understand that you want to wait with that until the fund drive is complete. But I think that's even more reason push for a re-evaluation of programs to see which are the programs that really have no support. And I understand that we are not a station that is only about, you know, getting the may the most one win, but we have to reevaluate and get a few programs in that make a little bit more money to sustain. Thank you.
Thank you, Myla.
May I respond to that?
Fred.
Michael, quickly. I have sent out the fund drives data after every fund drive since I became treasurer, and there's been absolutely no response to any of it. The information is out there, Ziri. I agree this should be in programming oversight, and they should be crunching the numbers on what support programs have. So, you know, please take it up with the Programming Oversight Committee. Thank you.
Fred, you want to be on the stack? I have a couple of hands ahead of you. Okay, thank you. I have Lawrence and
Myla.
Okay, Myla and then Lawrence and then Fred.
Yeah, someone removed my hand earlier. I just want to take this time to acknowledge the extraordinary work and service that Kim Kaufman over the years has provided to us as a volunteer, as an unpaid volunteer. And I look forward to your written report when you have completed it. And I just want to thank you for all the numbers and for your dedication to KPFK and Pacifica. Thanks again. Bye.
Okay, I have Lawrence. I'm going to call myself, and Bella wants to speak again.
Thank you, Chair. Myla, I accidentally, I thought you were going to speak, so I lowered your hand. I didn't do it callously. In regards to written reports, I joined the chorus. I know directors are asked to provide written reports. There's a point of accountability, right? And I understand that that the treasurer has a lot of facts at her fingertips, but I'm on the finance committee, and I would like to get timely reports, not at the last minute. And I think this board needs to receive those reports as well. So I'd like to encourage the treasurer to do that. Thank you.
Thank you. Fred is next, then myself, and then Bella for a second bite.
Yeah, I'm concerned that I'm hearing all these negative comments about Kim not providing reports. Reports, a written report should be provided. But the problem is people are not dealing with the substance of what she's talking about. The station is in severe financial crisis. And if something doesn't happen, we're going to lose the station. That the substance of what she says is true. And we have to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you. So I do want to call myself. I think that is the critical factor. I believe it would be helpful if we sort of daily fund drive results could be sent out to the LSB. I think it would concentrate people's minds on how enormous the problem is of a disconnect between the station and its programming and the community in terms of the support. That we're based on the idea that we're listener-supported radio. And if we're not getting listener support, we have to ask why and figure out why, what has to be done to regain that support, not just financial support, but the financial support is the manifestation of engagement with the community and with the interest in the programming we offer. And the fact that we're in fund drive so often, everyone has said, is one of the reasons that it's a vicious downward cycle, and it's continuing. The longer we're in fund drive, the less people listen, the less responsive people are to any given fund drive, because we go to the same well too often. We do have to figure out how to attract and engage. Many, many people are out there and concerned about issues that Pacifica is supposed to be dealing with, and we have to solve that problem. It's a question of the culture of the station and the nature of our engagement. I do think that we need to appeal to, theoretically like-minded organizations that have mass membership base in the communities. There were thousands of people out in the street for the March for Our Lives. There were well over 1,000 people at the People's Summit. I don't think many of them connect to us, and we don't connect to them. We did not have a presence at the People's Summit. I don't think we had a presence at the March for Our Lives. And I think that that is a consistent failure of the station that has to be answered. We're not going to improve the financial picture unless we improve the engagement with the community. I see.
Chair, we are at time. I'll move to Sten for 3 minutes.
Okay, we have two people up on the stack, so let's finish the stack. We'll take additional public comment, then we'll go on. Jose Benavides, go ahead.
Unmute, Jose. Unmute. There you go.
Yeah, I just, can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm in my car. I just want to say, I mean, I don't know why anybody's surprised. Is anybody genuinely surprised that the reason why our station is, I mean, sounds so bad and is doing so bad financially is because of the programming? I mean, that's our number one, that's our business card. That's all we are, is just radio and programming. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear this information. We've been knowing this for years. This doesn't need an analysis or someone putting some document together. We already know that it has to do with our programming. See, I had proposed this a while ago, and now that I'm out, that I no longer work at KPFK, I'm working at another organization, it's more than clear and evident what our problem is. It has to do with several things, but one of the very first things that comes to mind is programming, and the second is the fact that we have a horrible website, horrible, non-existent social media, and a bunch of tribalism and people in controlling things within the staff. That's the problem at Pacifica. Now, I had proposed, you know, what I thought was a great solution at the time, but I was blocked in every kind of way by management and other staff members for jealousy or whatever, or territorial, whatever, they were protecting their territory, whatever. And it was very simple. We needed to move into a video environment, a video podcasting environment, along with new programming with likable people. We needed to do that. And that needed to go hand in hand with social media. But none of that has happened, and none of that will happen as long as a certain people are still in certain places at Pacifica and at KPFK staff. That needs to change immediately. And the programming needs to change. I mean, I don't understand why are we beating around the bush. It has to do with the programming. And don't blame it on Spanish programming. I mean, if you really wanted to improve Spanish programming, doesn't mean you have to get rid of the language. You just find the right programmers, simple. But instead, this is what always these conversations seem to be around.
10 seconds, okay.
And that's just my comment. And if anybody wants to talk to me, feel free to talk. You know, I'll tell you exactly how it is.
Comment. Sorry, public comment to the finance and treasurer's report.
I think Janine Rowan.
Janine, yes. Is that applause or a hand up? Janine, go ahead, both.
I just wanted to thank Jose for being so direct in what he's talking about. And I put in the chat that, you know, I'm chair of fundraising committee. And there's not one fundraising idea that we've brought to the table that has been allowed to be implemented. And it has to do with staff. And certainly we've had GM turnover there, but this has been going on for 9 months, right? The committee was started in September and nothing that we've brought forward has been implemented. So, you know, we need to push through that. And I'll talk about it if there's time for the report as chair of the committee, because we need to start hearing and getting in writing the reasons why they are not implementing things on the fundraising front. But yes, it's also programming. The news program that was proposed by, that I understand was proposed by Ziri Rideau, was a wonderful program, very generous on her part as far as volunteering to put together a whole local news programming slate.
15 seconds.
And there it was nothing in writing as to why it was knocked down. It's just not how, quote, not how they want to do it. So we need more accountability from the ED and management as to why these things are getting shot down. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Taylor, take your hand down. Margo Eisler is next.
Hello. Yes, now I will read slowly and clearly. Hold on. Okay. Hold on, I have to cancel. Okay, excuse me. I'm just having technical difficulties here.
Okay. Mr. Goldstone, you have to mute, please.
Yes, I'm going to say I'm unmuted now. Because we, the listener sponsors, are, especially during unfund drives, are constantly being told that we are the sponsors of programs, etc. It is obvious that to know how our money is being used, we must always have all financial information and every transaction, financial transaction should be fully revealed to us in reports so that we can determine what problems are and work to help remedy them. For example, please immediately, I was just trying to find out why the monthly Edison bill hadn't been paid regularly. You know, that's ridiculous. Every basic household financing you learn, even in home economics, you budget your money out so that your utilities bills are part of the regular payments. You divide your income that way. Secondly,
15 seconds.
This would be basic. Okay. Secondly, we have to ask this. Obviously, that's so long on. We who provide the money must have complete oversight because we require and deserve fiduciary responsibility. And it's also horrible that programs are being judged by how much money they bring in. There has got to be a different way. And okay, outreach has to be at every event mentioned or sponsored on KPFK. That would bring in more listener sponsors. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Margo. Mr. Goldstone, go ahead and unmute yourself now. You're up next. Go ahead, Raymond.
Thank you. First, I'm weary of this sniping between Kim Kaufman, or actually between Bella and Kim Kaufman, who attempts to reply. I, for one, think the sniping takes more time than the finance reports, which I find to be perfectly acceptable reports. Two, with regard to programming, one thing that has troubled me is that the PRA sells as a premium, I don't know, 15,000 hours or whatever it is, of their vital information. I don't understand why, if it's all that interesting, we don't use it in part for programs. Thank you.
Thank you. Marisol, I see your hand up. I'm going to take the listeners first, if you don't mind, then I'll come back to you. I have a person who's on a phone. It says listener. I don't. You're up. Go ahead.
Thanks very much. I assume that's me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. With regard to health benefits, I don't know what the rules are in Pacifica for when people start getting benefits and how many hours, but I think much of our staff in Pacifica tends to be elderly. Some of them must qualify for Medicare already. I think it would be a good idea to explore whether it makes more sense to subsidize people getting their own coverage than to pay for whatever, you know, gold package Pacifica is currently offering. Health has always been a big portion. Health benefits have always been a big portion of each station's payroll. I think that should be researched. I'm not saying don't make sure people have coverage. I'm saying do it in the most creative way possible. With regard to elections, I ran for a local station board last year, only to find out that despite many communications with the national election supervisor, while I was registered to run in one section, the ballot they sent me was 15 for
seconds.
Another station. So I would like elections, but I don't want elections more than I want to have KPFK on the air. I don't need elections more than I want to have KPFT on the air. I don't need elections more than I want WBAI on the air. And if I have $10 to give, I want it to go to station operations because we have work to do.
Time.
There is a runner-up. Sorry, just finish my thought. There are runner-up lists at every station sufficient to carry over, remove the people who will be okay. a six-year term
thank you.
In December and still have elected representation. Thank you.
Okay. And Mr. Tatum?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I wanted to commend you and the other board members. You search for the hard job it is to chair a meeting and to look at the hands that are raised and look at the chat. That's a hard job to do, I know. I'd like to commend the board members because they're using the electronic hand, which makes it a little bit easier for you because Zoom automatically puts the raised hands in the order that they were raised. And then finally, the people who are on phone only, they already know that they can raise the electronic hand by pushing *9, but maybe they didn't know that a host or co-host has to lower their hand. They cannot lower their own hand. So in finality, I would just like to commend you guys for using the electronic hands. It makes the meetings a lot better. Thank you.
Thank you. So I do have two board members that wish to speak. Mari Sol, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Michael. I just want to concur with Jose. It's all about the programming. KPFK is becoming unrelatable to the community, unrelatable to the listeners. Thus, we don't have that support out there. And if we bring in programming, we bring in, you know, just the basics, the bread and butter of the station. I think that's a great solution. But again, a lot of things need to get revamped. The programming is key. So I just want to concur with Jose and hopefully Ziri gets support for the local news and the Spanish programming. Again, we just need to really look at ourselves, face ourselves, and see what we need to change. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Belle, I see your hand, but the listener who was on the phone raised a hand again. Did you want to have there's about a minute of public comment left.
Listener? Yes. Okay, then Tatum has his hand up now.
Mr. Tatum, go ahead.
That's a lower hand.
Okay, never mind. Bella, you want to say something? And I want to respond to one listener.
Yes, Mr. Chair, thank you. I want to point out the following, that when we heard the treasurer's report regarding our fund drives, I've said this many times, Allegiance, which is an outsourcing company we started working with now going on 2 years, gives us poor reporting regarding our fund drives. We need to get better reporting. They get a good chunk of money every month. This should not be permitted to go on like this so that we can get more. Right,
thank you. Bella, there's one more hand up from a member, so I want to take that because we're...
Okay, then I need to finish. Then I need to be given... the time to finish.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Ruth. Ruth, you have to unmute yourself. Ruth Strauss, okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. I'm just going to offer an alternative opinion. I think it's ludicrous to not judge programs by what they raise. What they raise is a vote from the public. So, yes, I do think that has to be taken into account, and I think it's ludicrous not to. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Bill, you want to finish, and I have a quick comment,
yes,
and we're going to move on.
Yes, real quick, Serene just pointed something out. I did an analysis a few years ago of how much money KPFK was spending on medical costs, over $30,000 every month. This is one of the reasons why KPFK has not been able to pay certain important obligations like electrical bills. And so if we push every staff member to be self-subsidized, we would do away with this loss so that we can actually maintain and be able to meet our monthly expenditures. And I just wanted to point out again, for years, I was requesting at the Finance Committee an accounts payable aging report to show me how much money we were owed, how much money we needed to pay out monthly. I was told that that could not be put together. And now we are facing a $60,000 arrears of electrical billings. Many
issues
that need to be taken care of. Thank you.
May I be recognized? This is Kim.
Okay, quickly. We're way past time for this item.
Have gone to the Finance Committee every month since Julia has been doing our reports. Thank you.
Thank you. So I just wanted to respond quickly to the listener who asked about the finances. The reason we haven't paid those bills is because the first priority on payments must go to meeting the payroll and health benefits obligation, or we can't operate at all. We'd be in a criminal violation of labor law. And unfortunately, we're not bringing in enough money to pay our bills. That's the gist of Kim's response. We cut our expenses by close to 40%, but we've reduced our income by more than 50%. And so that's a scissors that we're trapped in. Goes back to the question of trying to provide programming that's fresh and engaging and responsive and generates listener support. And we're going to move on the agenda to the...
May I make one more comment? 10 seconds. The key number is $60,000 a month deficit. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why the electric bill, and all the other bills, we have like $180,000 of payables. Okay. All we're doing is raising money just to pay payroll and health bennies and now the electric bill.
Thank you.
Chair, you have a hand up from call-in user number 4. I don't know if you want to take him.
Okay. We do have an additional period of public comment after the committee reports. I don't think we have it. The governance committee report is that we're still working on revising the membership policy for committees because of some conflicts that people have pointed out. And we also have questions that are being raised about the decorum policy at committees and elsewhere that we're going to be working on. I think that's probably a new business item to announce that.